Good morning, everybody. Are you awake? I'm not used to such a small crowd. You imagine I'm a native Floridian, and I was in the watching the parade the other day. And let me tell you, we were shoulder to shoulder with people, children. It was just fabulous to watch. So what I'm going to tell you is a little bit about myself. I'm a native Floridian, so when you come up here and you feel this kind of weather, it goes right through you, okay? You learn that you put layers on, and lots of them. My history is I come from the hospital background, county government background, and I've been the deputy CEO of a nonprofit for the last 11 years. The exciting part about my job is, and since we were talking about people making sure you're here, I don't need pictures today because one of my board members is actually here today. Even though I do like Facebook and those kind of things. But I want to thank him personally because John Benz actually works for Memorial Healthcare System, John in the white shirt there, and he's brought a lot to our board in the process of a data warehouse. And that's what we're going to be talking about today because health planning councils, as most of you know, we collect a lot of data. And years ago, when BJ was talking about paper, we actually used to do a hospital utilization database by paper, actually carbon paper, if you could imagine. So many years ago, we decided that it was time to update this and put it on a system where all the hospitals could actually upload it themselves and at a monthly basis, so they could tell what kind of procedures were run in their hospitals. This is all de-identifiable data. And then they could run the reports, so you could know on a monthly basis how you're doing with your data system. So in the process of that, we were fortunate enough to get some foundation dollars, and we built some other databases. We built a PDI database. I don't know, do you all know what a PDI is? ARHQ, do you know what ARHQ is? National Best Practices, tells you about non-avoidable admissions. So we built both the adult and children one modules. And then we built a chronic condition module. And then so we have in there like HIV, AIDS, diabetes, cardiac. We now have a sickle cell. So we wanted to start looking at different data for regional planning purposes. So we're fortunate where we have all the stakeholders at the table, and we started looking at this information countywide. So we're fortunate we had the hospital planners, county government, medical association, the health department. So we started building this thing. And part of building it, we made it such that you can actually run it very easily by clicking dates, date ranges and items so that you can go forward or backwards. So in the process of building this, it took us about 7 years to do that. We ran across some students at Nova Southeastern University. And they came to see me and they said, you know, Mike, you have a great data system, but wouldn't it be nice to put a business intelligent model on top of it? So I said, okay. What's this going to cost me? Because isn't that the first question, Byron? So it was about $100,000 in computers and software just to start. So we said, wow, that's a pretty good investment. And they said, but the interesting part is when it's over, you're going to have scorecards. So what I'm going to walk you through is a process of looking at information, and the technology is here today, which is exciting for us. I mean, you're not looking at, you know, when VJ was talking about, you know, how do you pull it all together? Part of pulling it all together is to be able to analyze it so that you can come up with some assumptions, and then you go in certain directions. So our discussion today is this approach is what is coordinating and looking at the data. So does everybody know what DRGs are? Diagnostic relating groupings, got some nods, yes. So what we did is we took this data system, and so we started building not only the DRGs, we put in the ICD-9s, we put in the chronic conditions, and then we put in all the healthcare information. So when we built this, we said, you know, there's 11 of us health planning councils in the state of Florida, so we said, why not build this whole thing for this entire state of Florida? So what we did was we started looking at it, and the key part is when you start building these things, you got to know what do you want to get out of it at the end of the day. So what we were looking for is information, like Byron was saying before, is how do you start looking at things so you can come up with decisions? So you need to be able to look at things at zip codes. You need to be able to look at income levels. You need to be able to put that kind of information in a system so that you can pull it out. So part of what we did is when we started building this system, we said, okay, and this is where the programmers come in. They said, okay, we can get to mapping and graphing capabilities. So all of a sudden, you're looking at one here, and part of the data system, so you can not only start looking at data, you can start looking at maps, because I don't know about you, but it's easier to look at a map and start making decisions. So part of what I tell everybody, and since we're all involved in public health, this is one of the big issues that we all deal with is obesity. And one of the things I tell people is our children are going to be the first children that don't outlive their parents. Now, if you could imagine that, that's a statement. So one of the things that we're trying to look at is how do you approach all this kind of stuff? And obviously data will help you put this in focus and help bring it to the front of the line. So part of what we did was we started taking all this business information, dropping it into a fashion where you could look at pies, graphs, maps, and those kind of things. So as I was talking about before, when you start building a business intelligent model, you have your bottom databases. So you're going to need to keep all your bottom databases in place, and this goes on top of your databases. So if you can imagine, think about a cube, a Rubik's cube. So all of a sudden what you're going to do is take this information, and then from your data warehouse, it's extracted from those different databases, and it comes up into these cubes. And these cubes will allow you to actually download the information faster. A lot of people use pivot tables and things like that. This one is extremely fast because you can dissect it by hospital, by physician, by zip code, by payer source. And it's just a lot more timely. And then you can pull it out and drop it into the maps, graphs, and those kind of things. So how do you build something like this? Part of the system is we had to purchase 3 servers, and then we started looking at the information, be able to pull it out from the bottom to the top. So what you look to do is to build the bridges between the data and the users. Now what I tell people when you build a data system, you have to be able to make it in such a way where you can use it. Because a lot of people, I don't know if you try to grind out numbers, but it's very complicated when they're not user-friendly. And Vijay, when you were talking earlier, it just reminded me is when you build these things, have the end users in the room with you. They're key to the decisions being made. And that's what we did. What we were fortunate enough to do is to bring in the hospital planners, the health department planners, and say to them, what kind of reports do you want at the end of the day? And then the key also, and Vijay mentioned this, you're going to have programmers that speak language that we understand. And that's not easy. So it's interesting how you have to train them to be able to, you know, understand data, demographics, income, all these things, and what does it mean at the end of the day? So part of what you're doing is you're pulling people together, you're building a system that allows you to be able to extract out information to make decisions. So part of the important part about planning is to be able to look at data, and it has to be in a real-time format, because if you're looking at things, a year later, 2 years later, you're really behind the eight ball. So one of the things that we tried to do and have been able to accomplish is our hospital utilization database. Now this is de-identified data, but you got to understand it's done in such a way where hospitals are able to look at their information on a monthly basis. So the key to these, when you build these BI systems, you can actually put in, and I'm going to show you some other examples, you can put in scorecards. So you can actually look at utilization like in a scorecard approach, and you can actually, when you get the information, it could be emailed to the end user. So when Vijay was talking before, you have lots of different types of users. You might have somebody who just enters data. You might have somebody has a read-only data. And then you might have somebody who can look at their system alone, and then you create it where they can look at everybody's system. So when you're building these things, you have to know that in advance. If not, you really get yourself into a little pinch. So part of this data system, and actually we were recognized by the CDC as one of the top data systems in the country, was to take all this information, so we have the ACA information in there. So we look at admissions and ERs, we look at chronic disease data, we look at the DRGs, and we've been able to put it in so that you can pull it out and look at zip codes and from there, many different programs. You know, Byron was asking before, what do you do? Well, like Memorial Healthcare System, they developed a like a HITS program where they actually went to target chronic conditions and things like that. So, you know, with the information, you can make informed decisions which actually can improve your outcomes in your community. So part of the information in, and I need to stress this, you know, really highlight it, is you have to have your end users in the room when you develop these things. Because lots of times people develop things and then they just sit and nobody uses them. So when you're developing them, I want you to remember when you have the end user in the room with you, you know, they're going to look at certain information differently than you're going to look at certain information. So the key is when you're doing this, and then some people say, can you do it census tract instead of zip codes? Well, we went zip codes because it was a lot easier to start grouping by systems by zip codes. So, and census tract sometimes overlaps, so it was easier to stay in that direction. So the key is when you have these business intelligent models, and, you know, they're very sophisticated because these cubes that you create allow you to extract the information like you've never seen before. So I'm going to show you a scorecard that will be coming up. Like this here is when you first log into the website, this is what you're looking at. So actually, it's kind of interesting because we put all the programs up at the top here. So you can look, we have each one comes in here, and this, each one's a different database. So part of the different databases, we're able to drill into and automatically pull up what you're looking to see. And from this, you can actually email it to somebody. So when we talk business intelligent models, it gives you a visual kind of look, which, you know, is a lot more telling, I think, when you look at reports. And so it's kind of like a dashboard where, you know, it jumps up at you and, you know, you can make decisions. So we like the mapping part of it because you can actually pull it out and kind of make the planner's life easier. And then we did a couple features for you here. It's always nice when you start looking at statewide information. So what we wanted to do is the one to the left, actually, is we want to see where babies were born. So, you know, you start talking about the world we live in, and if you're going to plan, when you want to look at where people were born and start, you know, the next part of all this is kind of forecasting. So we wanted to look over on the left there and see where babies were born. The right, we wanted to start looking at cardiac casts, where people were having those procedures done. And so those are two highly visible maps where you can start looking statewide information and look at conditions there. Now, the system's capabilities, like I was saying earlier, are very advanced. So when you hire programmers for this, BJ talked about earlier people leaving and people moving on. I strongly encourage you when you do something like this is to have manuals put in place so you exactly know how they scripted it together, what code they used, and the other part is I got to say that I don't recommend free source coding. I've always, you know, when you build something, it's very important to make sure you don't have any bugs in it because, you know, when you go to that open source stuff, you can definitely run into trouble. So we've kind of stuck with the Microsoft products. We think Bill Gates isn't going away. So we've done the Microsoft. So this information, you know, you talk about lessons learned. The key of it is to give information out that actually people can make decisions. And what kind of decisions, if you think about health planning and you think about your communities, what do you want to look at? So you want to look at things that are avoidable, preventable. And so, you know, as healthcare and health moves forward, you know, we have to, you know, work on these type of issues together and get people treated sooner and quicker. And by looking at chronic conditions and looking at emergency utilizations, That's how you start jumping out in front of all this. And, you know, what one of the things that we did when we started looking at this is when you look at ER data, there's five codes when you bill on the ER. And the 81s and 82s, we kind of agreed that those should be in the primary care sites. So when you start looking at this data, you can actually make decisions. And like Byron was saying before, you know, how do you find outcomes? Well, it's interesting. When we were doing a needs assessment for one of the hospital systems, and, you know, we grind a lot of data, and it jumped out at us, prenatal care and Hispanics jumped out. And it was like, wow. So they do a great system or they're great assets to the community. They do a great job with the community. But all of a sudden, this one jumped out, and it was like, okay, what measures do you put in place to address this in the future? So when you're building these data warehouses, the key is not only to build it in such a way that people can use it, but use it so that people can identify needs, and then they can put in action steps. My telephone number's there. My website, brhpc.org, is there. I think the key is when you look at these systems, make sure that you have a lot of time, and I think the government's going through that right now, to test them. Make sure that you really test them. Make sure that you run the data on them. You know, you want to have cross-references to make sure that it all adds up at the end of the day. And you have to take your time. You can't rush with these things. So one of the things that we did is when we've always kept the system up and running, but we have a beta system that runs on top of it. So we have a server that is strictly for you know, in case you blow things up, you haven't blown up the rest of the system. So I highly encourage you to have a beta system running along with your active system. Yeah. I want to thank you all very much. Hopefully you learned something exciting today. And Byron, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate the presentation. I'm going to start the question and answer session off now. Mike, if you would elaborate a little bit on what outcomes were you specifically targeting? Did you build a system with the hope that you would find what you were looking for? Or did you have in mind already the kind of outcomes you were looking for when you built the system?
I think what we did is we had outcomes in mind already. I mean, if you look at ARHQ best practices, they actually identify indicators whereby you can make assumptions that you can set out and, you know, set in interventions. So I think, you know, the key is, it's twofold. Some of it you know you're looking for, and then other things kind of jump up higher. Kind of surprised you in a way, but I think the key is when you build these data systems that they're able to have end users use them, and I'm one of them. I mean, I'm not a computer person, but I can actually go in the system and I can run it myself, and I think that's the key to some of these systems, because what happens is people make them, people can't use them. We have a system whereby you click, 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 and then you put a date range, and it'll run your report. And we've made it so easy that it actually runs a report with a header on the top. It tells you what you printed out. You can put holes in it and put it in a binder. So I think both of it actually happens when you're building these things. But the key is, you know, you got to be able to use it, Byron. And I think that's really the key to all this. I mean, people have data, and you know, but you got to be able to look at it and what does it mean. And then you have to have people willing to work with you to actually implement programs that are going to do something. So the key is, you know, we're fortunate in Broward County whereby we have all the stakeholders at the tables. We have the health department, we have the hospitals, we have the counties, we've got the federally qualified health centers. So we're able to build these things together and work together because, you know, the assets that we have are valuable.